Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I am your host, Denise Griffiths, and this podcast is ranked in the top 2% of the most popular podcasts globally. And honestly, every bit of it is because of my incredible guests. I feel immensely fortunate to spend time with people who are at the top of their game, and they show up here and they are passionate about helping you achieve your goals in both your personal and professional life. My guests hold nothing back. They're here to share the secrets of peak performance with us, and I know that you will find their insights both actionable and inspiring. So sit back, relax, take notes, and get ready to take your life and business to the next level. Now, today I'm excited because I get to welcome to the show Josephine Campbell. She is the author of Power Barometer, Manage Energy, Not Just Time and Money. And that book is on my desk as we speak, and she is speaking with us from Copenhagen. Good morning, Josephine, and thank you for being with me here today. I'm so excited to talk with you. We've been trying to do this since August of last year, and here we are.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here too.
Oh, thank you. Tell us, I didn't want to spend a lot of time giving people your bio. I would rather they hear it from you. So can you tell us a bit about you and your background, and then we'll get into your book? This book is fascinating, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, certainly I will. My work builds on three pillars from my background. The first one is science. The second is practical. And the third is Japanese martial arts, jiu-jitsu. So I used to teach at Copenhagen Business School, and throughout my career, many times I've been in touch with science. I've always been the one who translates science into practice rather than the one who's doing the science. And that leads me to the second pillar, the practical aspect. So when I was teaching at business school, I was known for being the one who could actually explain how we could use the academic science in practice. I have just 25 years of business experience myself. I started my first company when I was 21 years old. And in my work as a coach, I support leaders in achieving what they want to achieve and deal with issues or challenges which are right in front of them. And it's very practical. You know, at the end of the day, what we do very often is very practical, but it's rooted in science. But then I found that as I was starting my work, training, coaching, advising leaders, that the techniques I brought with me from my time as a martial arts champion proved to be very useful when adapted into the context of modern work life. So I was the quadruple national champion in jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is a Japanese martial arts in which not only your outer strength, but also your inner strength has a profound impact on your performance. So I was not the tallest, physically strongest, nor was I the one who had been practiced for most years. But nevertheless, because I were listening to what my sensei was teaching me about how to manage my mind and my personal energy level, I managed to win and beat the other guys. And more than anything, I won over myself.
No,
in Japan. Yeah,
that's what I was basically.
It's about, it's not so much about winning the competition. It's about managing yourself. It's about beating your primal automatic instincts and mental autopilots to the benefit of what you really want to do. what makes sense to you to do here now and long term.
Right. And that makes perfect sense to me. And I think this is just me observing myself and observing other people as, you know, I wander around this earth. But it seems to me that way too many of us aren't really in touch with our own energy levels. We don't know how to manage our energy. We won't. These days, everybody's running around going, oh, geez, oh, geez, oh, geez, the sky is falling. That's not helpful at all. So I'm loving what this conversation is all about. And the book, the first chapter is Manage Energy, Not Just Time, Quality, and Money. And we're going to get into that. But how did you come to write this book? What prompted you to say, listen, I know this, I teach it, now I need to share it with the world?
Yeah, I get very inspired from my work. I get very inspired from the people I coach. And I think that so many have made huge improvement and showed remarkable results, and that their stories could be inspiring for others. These stories that I share anonymously, and of course with the approval of the people who it really is about, they're the kind of stories about what happens inside a person in difficult situations. And they're not so often being shared, especially not in the context of work life, where people are often trying to do impression management and, you know, not sharing all the chaotic feelings they might initially have in a process. But we all have those feelings. We all go through difficult situations, and it's inspiring to hear how some people actually manage not just the situation, but also themselves in these demanding moments.
Right. And in the very first chapter, I mean, it starts out, I started reading it because when these books land on my desk, I read them. I am blessed to have interviewed hundreds of authors on this podcast. And this room is full. I've got three bookcases in here. And this room is what I call my entrepreneurial library. This little corner is my desk. The rest of it is books and a futon. I have read every single one of these books. And in so many ways, my guests become my mentors because, you know, books last forever. They live forever, literally. And I picked this book up back in August. And then I read it again this past weekend because I knew we were going to be chatting. And you talk about how they say very often in business, we say it's not personal, it's just business. You also say it's one of the biggest misconceptions out there. So let's delve into that because I agree with you. I cannot argue with you at all.
Yeah, it's key. It's fundamental. Business is personal. So there's an antithesis between what is private and what is professional. So let's say you go canoeing with your team. It's a team building event. It's professional. But if you go canoeing with your friends and family, it's something that happens in your private life. These two are antitheses, but it's all you as a person who go canoeing. The same thing at work. It's you as a person who go to work. And when you are in a management position, I think it's far more obvious. You know, it's you as a person that people follow. It's you as a person who is leading. But also, if you are a technical expert, it is you as the expert who is sharing your expertise and putting it into play in the organization where you work. We cannot take the person out of the equation. It's part of the work.
Well, and, you know, people, I'm trying to think how to say this in a way that makes sense. I can see it in my head. I don't know what it's going to sound like when it comes out of my mouth, though. But the thing is, we are living, sentient beings. We cannot be stripped of part of our personality because we're sitting in a boardroom. We have to show up as the person, the individual that we are. And that means showing our creativity, showing our empathy, listening, trying to be of assistance to other people, and not just saying, well, you know, it's just business. No, it's not.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. And that also called for people to take responsibility for their personality. And how you affect others.
Oh, darn it. Well, I guess we're done here. I never know which personality is going to show up. You just don't know.
It takes so many people in business life have their eye completely on the ball and not on the man. It is just half the perspective, especially if you think long term, if you think in terms of how you grow an organization or how you create value in an organization, how you collaborate with external partners. It's you as a person. If you're draining other people from their energy, it's you who have not taken responsibility for how you are with other people.
I have to ask you, Josephine, I come across people who have no awareness at all how they show up in the world. It's not all that often, but when I do come across them, it's glaring. It's how can they possibly miss this? People are uncomfortable around them. People are literally stepping back from them. How do they not know this?
Well, there can be various reasons for that.
Oh, boy.
Well, first of all, we all have blind spots. Like, we all have things about how we appear that we do not see. So that's where other can be helpful, giving us feedback if we are open and curious. Then there are some people who, for some reason, don't feel motivated to do it. They feel like they don't have to do it, or they're afraid of what they will find because they think that the unpleasant feeling of realizing when you are misbehaving or you've done something that looks bad is more important to avoid than to actually face it and deal with it. But really think about it. Everybody else can see it. So do you want to be the only one who doesn't face it? And most, when people think about it that way, most people feel encouraged to face it, right? And then there's a third reason. There are some people who, from cognitive reasons, have really difficulty seeing themselves from the outside. So having multiple perspectives on how a situation or an issue can be perceived is a quite sophisticated cognitive capability. It requires use of your frontal lobes. And one thing is IQ. There are people who just doesn't have enough IQ to really see things from different perspectives while they're doing other things. But another thing is different kinds of brains. And for example, people who are somewhere on the autism spectrum, aware or unaware of it, have more difficulty understanding themselves and others. They simply have a different wiring in their brain. But that's a small percentage. That's probably less than 5% of all people we're talking about here. And then you have the 4% of human beings who have really dark traits. So bad, dark traits that we can call them psychopath. And
yes, I was thinking that word was in my head when you said that.
Mm-hmm.
A narcissist, they're the worst. You get around a narcissist, oh my God. But that's a whole other conversation.
It is. And they don't have the ability either, nor do they have the desire. But we still have about 90% of all human beings who, you know, with more or less help, should be able to see things from different perspectives and have self-awareness and empathy, you know, see things from other people's perspective.
Right. And EQ, emotional intelligence, EI rather, emotional intelligence, that's overlooked. It's getting better. People are starting to realize that that's part of the whole you. There's your IQ, which can be considerable. And then there's your EQ. Sorry, I can't even talk today. It's EQ, which I think is almost more important.
For success, it really is. People with average IQ and a high EQ tend to get more success faster and be happier in life than people with a high IQ and a low EQ.
See, I was my father had a very high IQ.
Doesn't
He was
surprise me.
an animal. He really was. He was not. He had no EQ that I was ever able to discern. He was just a closed-in unit. He was just very difficult to be around. I grew up wanting to be everything but him. So there you go.
Oh, that's sad. You know,
Yeah.
it can be difficult to have a high IQ. It can feel like you are from another planet
It
and
does. You know that, and I know that. You have to be able to laugh at yourself, and I do that frequently.
Yeah, but then when you're laughing at yourself, it's because you have the ability to see yourself from other perspectives, and you might find a funny perspective to see yourself from, and then you can laugh at yourself. But what happens to a lot of people with high IQ is they pick up more information and they're more sensitive in that sense. They understand and get more than what is expected of them, especially early on in life. And then when they don't being not being met, if they're not being seen, if people don't listen to them, they close. And it's really, really a shame. We have a big part of humanity who potentially could develop high IQ, high EQ, and then there's a lot of literature that points to that these kind of people who are being seen and heard and stimulated the way you need when you have a high IQ, they tend to become wonderful human beings who can really help other people, and they want to do that. And they want to spend their brain power doing that and solving some of the important challenges that the world is facing. So
Right, and
it's an important
you
area
said
too.
that right. You said that so beautifully. And the thing is, and I watch a lot of people, I listen to a lot of people, I interview a lot of people, thank goodness. And I am finding, or have found for quite a long while, that the people who are the most fascinating, who show up big in the world, or maybe just big in their own little world, are those with pretty decent or even very high IQs. But boy, they score big on the EQ. Those are the people I want to be around.
Yeah, definitely, because you want to be just like anybody else. You want to be around with people who get you, people who can
Right.
see things from your perspective. We're back
And
to
if they
this
don't,
cognitive.
right. And if they don't, they're curious enough to say, you know, I don't get that. Let's talk. What are you telling me? They still may never get it, but they're curious enough to inquire.
Yes, and you know, you can get a long way with curiosity. You don't have to be super smart, but if you are curious, if you are honestly asking people to understand their perspective, that's, you know, whole new worlds are gonna unreveal themselves in front of you.
That's true. And you know, these days, if you mention anything at all on social media, somebody's going to try to hit you with a hammer. I just don't play with those people. You know, if they're knee-jerking to something, a word or a phrase or a link, it's like, really? Listen, you have a nice day now. Unless there's something about them that makes me curious. So really, let's tell me more about that.
Yeah,
But
but it's
sometimes I'll just say, no, I'm not playing in your bucket of slop.
yeah, and also because it's such a poor playing field. Social media is a plat there are platforms where it's very difficult to get the nuances of what a person really thinks and feels.
Definitely. Listen, I have a degree in sarcastic. My degree is in sarcastic with a minor in sardonic. That does not play well online. But I keep doing it anyway. You either get it or you don't. It's me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change it.
It's, yeah, and that can be easily misunderstood if
Yeah,
people don't really get you, if they don't know you.
it can. Listen, I wanted to dig back into your book. There's one sticky notes. Anybody who knows me knows I will not mark up a book. That's from my summers as a kid, spending all the time in the library. So I have sticky notes all over it, but you've got there's a the lighthouse. Where did it go? I just
Yeah,
lost. Talking about your
the
lighthouse.
values,
Yeah.
lighthouse. Yeah.
Let's dig into that because that's one of my favorite chapters. There it is. It's on page,
Mm.
just found it again. The contagious drainer, that's another one. A lighthouse of values. That is on page 71.
Yes. So it's a tool. It's an exercise that I do very often with people. And it helps you navigate in complexity. It helps you make good choices for yourself. It helps you get to the core of what matters to you. So in the lighthouse, you pick your top values. And your top values are not 10 values. There are two or three top values. If you are in a situation where you can make two bad choices, that happens sometimes, right? Then if you pick the one that is aligned with your top values, somehow it's going to take you a better place on the lo in the long term than the other choice. Values can be things such as integrity, authenticity, teamwork. Values are interpersonal, social building blocks. It's something you can prioritize over the other. And if you live your life with awareness of what your top values are, then you will live your life accordingly to what matters most to you. And in today's chaotic, hectic world, sometimes it can be hard to find the North Star. You can easily lose sight of what direction should you take. And the lighthouse helps you navigate in these situations. On my website, there's actually a free sound file in freebies, in the section called freebies, where you can explore your lighthouse, if you want to do that. Have you tried
I
that,
know.
Denise?
I have, and it's a terrific exercise. And I have to tell you, I don't know what this tells me about me. On when you go to page, I'm a little worried. On page 75, 74, and 75, it says, find your top values. What are your top three values? And I love that you say three because three to me is anything more than three, you're just throwing stuff at the wall. Stop at three.
Exactly.
Don't give
Exactly.
yourself, anybody else, more choices than three. But I went through, you've got this big list, altruism, ambition, then it goes on over to efficiency, simplicity, ethics. All of these are important. But I got to page 75, and these were my top picks: intuition, creativity, and ingenuity.
Oh, nice
Oh,
picks.
really?
Yeah. Yes,
Oh,
I
good.
see them in you.
Oh.
Well, it's all good. Like there's not one value which is better than the other. It's just different choices.
It is. And I chose intuition first because I have all of my life relied on my intuition. It's part of who I am. It's not something I've ever thought, where did that noise come from? Or what is that voice downloading? You know, because I call them God winks. They show up right when I need them. They'll show up when I ask for them. Literally. I have a habit of when I don't sleep well. I never have been a It's not one of my bigger skills. And when I think that I'm finally going to fall asleep, I will, say my prayers out loud because you can't, when you're speaking out loud, you can pretty much only speak one thing at a time. So you're concentrating on that. And I will say my prayers out loud. And then I will say to my subconscious, I'm sending you something for review. this is something I could not, you know, figure out today, or I need a response for this. And then I go to sleep, and at 3:18, I promise you, it doesn't matter if I went to sleep at 1 a.m. 3:18, I wake up and I scribble something on my notepad because there it came, just as I asked for it. So intuition is very important for me.
Yeah. But I can also hear you are more or less consciously feeding your brain to solve the puzzles for you.
Right.
And it's very smart, because the frontal lobes, where we are aware that we're thinking, it can handle one or two impulses per second, probably just one. Two is probably optimistic. But there are other parts of the brain that can handle thousands of impulses per second. So when you go to those deeper layers, and especially when you're asleep or you're in a different state of mind, you know much more. Even though you don't know what you know, you're not aware of what you know, but somewhere in your system it's there.
It is. And you don't know. Let's go back to curiosity. You don't know until you ask. Whether you're asking it of yourself, whether you're asking it of somebody else, whether you're asking it of the clouds floating above your head, you have to be curious. You have to ask.
I agree.
Okay, so thank you. This is something I wanted to, being hijacked. This is chapter 4. And this chapter deals with the horizontal axis of the awareness matrix, ready and hijacked. Let's talk about that, because this is not a term I had ever heard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's mind-blowing, isn't it? It's so simple and yet so profound. The ready hijack axis, in it shares it's the difference between being aware or being unaware. It's the difference between being conscious or running on autopilots, having automatic behaviors. When you are ready, you can use all of your brain. And it's probably the way you are when you're ready that is related to your self-image. So you probably know yourself as how you behave when you're ready. When you are, and I also call ready the green zones, because if you look at the matrix, you can see that that side of the matrix has green colors and the other side of the matrix has red colors. Then something happens. There's too much uncertainty. You feel threatened or uneasy or under time pressure, or something triggers you. And then, even without noticing it, you will slide into the red zone and your mind will become mental. You will become hijacked. So that means that the alarm response has been activated in that fascinating biological machine that you are, which is designed for survival. And all of your resources in your brain will go to survival. This sounds really dramatic. It can happen very subtly, and it happens many times throughout the day for most people. It doesn't have to be big things, but what happens then is that you become completely unaware of what it is that you're actually doing. You're just running old scripts, old programs of how to deal with a certain situation. Something you learned way back was the way to manage something you felt was difficult. And now you're repeating the same thing without looking up, seeing other people around you. And it's also in these situations where if someone else has a different perspective or a question, it can seem almost annoying and your ears stop working. So your listening skills become less.
That actually happens. My ears stop. I love that. I wrote that down. My ears stop working.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll catch myself at it, Josephine, and I'll say, oh, Denise, really? And because I live alone and I can do silly things, I will raise my right hand, smack my left hand, and say, bad Denise. And then my ears start working again. Because I've taken a moment to laugh at myself.
Yeah, but that's a wonderful gift that you have that sense of humor and ability to see yourself from the outside. So that could be like a trick on how to get yourself back into the green zone.
Oh, bad Denise. I mean, if that doesn't make you laugh at yourself, nothing will.
And it's about, it's a laugh is a wonderful way to create this feeling of release, of letting go that will take you back into the green zone. That's what you want. You want to get back into to being ready, because if we stay too long in the red zone, if we are hijacked too much time, it can create a downward spiral. You know that? Like one bad thing happens, then you become in a bad mood, then another bad things happen. Like get out of it. And using your sense of humor is a way of doing it. Breathing technique
Oh,
could be
yeah.
another way of doing it. And it's very simple. It sounds too simple to be true, but when you take deep breath, you send signals to that part of the brain that creates this alarm response that there is no danger. So it can calm down. It takes about 10, 15 minutes for it to happen. But it's the only of the neurological responses that we can control. We can control
Remember
our
when we
breath.
were kids, our parents would say, count to 10. Count to 10. There was
And they
a
were
reason
right.
for that. Yeah. And I would always say, okay, fine, 1, 3, 10. And my mother would say, start over. God darn it. I always wanted this shortcut, but you do have to count to 10.
It takes a little while. It's body chemistry that has to change. So, you can
Yeah.
also just go for a little walk.
Yeah. You know what I do? This is going to sound remarkably silly, but I do it all the time. You know how we wind up in front of the refrigerator? We have no idea of how we even got there or what room we even came from. We're just in front of the refrigerator. It's open and you're staring blankly into this cold unit. I will deliberately, I call it my open refrigerator door syndrome. If my brain is just whirling around and I'm getting cranky or my ears stopped working, that's going on my whiteboard. I will literally walk myself across the house to the refrigerator. It's a double door. I open it and I stick as much of my face, neck, upper body into the refrigerator as I can. And I deliberately go blank
How does
until the refrigerator door starts beeping because it's been open too long. And that's when I know to say, okay. You're fine. You had your little meditation. It's all good.
That's your way of getting back into the green zone, to becoming aware
Yeah.
again.
Yeah. It just, I'm irritated or my brain quit working, which happens a lot more often than I'm comfortable admitting. It just stops. I'll be looking at the same piece of code or the same graphic that I'm working on. I'm not seeing a thing. I'm tired. My brain is tired. My eyes are tired. I'm about to get cranky. So I just go stick myself in the refrigerator or go underneath my pecan trees, kick my shoes off, and ground myself in the grass. There's so many different things that you can do that just take a few moments, a few minutes, breathing, absolutely breathing.
But this finding little hacks, little to
Yeah.
take little breaks and things that will work for you. And I think it was really interesting that you mentioned the sound of the refrigerator. So it makes sense to me also with what you do, that you are a person who is big on audio. So
I am.
listening to things, just like you reacted to my phrase, your ear stops working. So it means that from a neurolinguistic programming learning perspective, you are probably one of the you're within the personality type who where audio can really make you feel something, a sound or
Right.
beautiful words.
Reading and audio. I don't give me a video. I'm not going to watch it. I don't care for movies. I don't even remember the last time I turned my television on. I just don't watch stuff. I will listen and I will read. That's how I absorb.
And then there are the people who will have to look at something, who are visual, who will have to imagine themselves something, or actually physically look at something, see an image that means something to them. So for example, he is in the book. Someone I worked with, he did the lighthouse exercise, and then he painted it and put it up on the wall in his
On his
dining
dining
room.
room. I know, I just read that. He did.
Yeah, and every time he looks at it, it reminds him of what is important and how to make the good choices. He has to make a lot of difficult choices all the time.
Yeah, we do. And you had a practical in the same chapter, chapter four, you have a practical example from a project meeting showing what it means to be in a hijacked state. Can you share that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know
Yes.
which one it is.
Yes, I know which one you're talking about. It's so this is a real example, and we call him Martin now. His real name is something else. And Martin is participating in a project. He's not the project manager, but he has an important stake in the project. He's an important stakeholder. He has some of his resources tied up in the project, and his KPIs partially depend on the outcomes of this project. So he's pretty close with Marie, who is the project manager. And normally Martin and Marie, they will align before the steering group meetings. And one day Martin, he is going to the steering group meeting. The story is he was just traveling. He just came back. He's been really busy. Then on the way to the steering group meeting, he meets his direct manager, Dan, we call him here today. And Dan, he's chit-chatting and talking. And Martin has a difficulty saying no to Dan. And he's being late for the meeting. And Dan is that type of leader who just keeps on talking. And his ears are not really working always. And he's busy with what he has on his mind. So Martin ends up being late in the meeting. So do you know this feeling of being late in a meeting and you spent the first minutes just orientate yourself? Like you have your head a little bit under you have your head under your arm, you're a little bit, I would say not so focused. And then he has this feeling of something is different. What is different here? And Marie, she starts presenting and she says, okay, so here we have the focus of the project and we're just revisiting the scope. And as you can see now, it has increased a little bit because you might notice that Dan and Harriet are sitting here at the table because they're new stakeholders in the project. So we expanded the scope and then she switched to the next slide. So here you have the timeline. This means that we have expanded the timeline. Now, stage three will be later than we first anticipated. We're going to prolong stage two a little bit. And that's where it just hits Martin in the stomach. And he gets this feeling where he can feel the heat in his cheeks. And he can feel his heart pumping. And he's thinking about his KPIs and his performance review meeting, which was supposed to be just after stage two. And he gets this daunting feeling of Marie has stabbed his back. How could she? How could she not tell him beforehand? They normally align. He feels complete like someone pulled the rock out under him. And then the next day, he shows up in a coaching session with me. He tells me about this experience, and I ask him, so what is the worst part of this? And he feels like Marie stabbed him, and he's completely caught up in a corner. He has this one perspective of the situation. So I challenge him a little bit, and I asked him, did you talk to Marie? The two of you normally talk very well together. And he did not. So we agree on that between this session and the next session, you will try to get in contact with Marie and find out what is up and down. And it turns out that Marie has been trying to get hold of him before the meeting, that the new participants in the meeting, in the project, are actually a win for the project. It's going to benefit him, but he didn't get that in the meeting because his ear stopped working. He couldn't see things from other perspectives. He was closed down, caught in this feeling of the heart beating and something's terrible going to happen. I'm not going to make my KPIs. And Marie also made sure, because she's aware of what his KPIs are, and she knows about him and his relationship with Dan, and she made sure that those deliveries that he's depending on would still happen accordingly to the old timeline. So Martin has wasted a lot of energy, and he has missed some important information. He was also not very, let's say, participating in the following discussion where they were going to reallocate the resources and discuss how to share roles and responsibilities and resources moving forward. So now they're a little bit behind because he was so uncooperative, and he feels a little stupid. But it's not worse than he can actually learn from it and try to do better next time. Because now he's starting to become aware of his bodily intelligence, the signals with the heart beating and the blood pumping and the warm feeling in his cheeks. And we all have different body signals. The heart beating is a normal one, but other people have other signals, such as someone I work with has a tingling in his hands. Other people get a little bit of headache. Somebody get a little more pain in the back. You know, the body is trying to tell you. And Martin has started listening.
Yeah, if I grab my stomach for no good reason, I know that something's about to hit me and I pay attention.
That's very wise. You are using your bodily intelligence.
Yeah, and intuition, something's coming.
Mm-hmm. And for Martin, it was a big step just to start paying attention to these signals that I can hear, that for you, Denise, it's natural for you to do that.
Apparently it is, and I never recognized it as that, you know, until I started, you know, meeting and listening to people like you on my podcast. Again, y'all are my mentors. I am not joking, but, you know, I live in the very deep south. I live about 15, 20 miles from the Gulf of Mexico as a crow flies. I'm in a still fairly rural area, but I get irritated every time I drive out and I find out that another field has been plowed down and ugly houses are going up, but that's neither here nor there. But it's very quiet, which is why I bought here. But I'm finding that I'm not going to meet people like you in my local Walmart. It's just not going to happen. So when I get to meet you and I get to read your books and listen to you, I'm taking in a lot of information and a lot of wisdom, and it sticks with me. And I thank you. And all. Did I lose you, Josephine?
Yes, you lost me for a minute. Oh, not a minute. Like you, I heard you until you say, and I thank you all. And then, yeah.
Oh, I wonder what happened. I'll have to go back and correct that. I'm sorry. What I was saying is that because of where I live, which is a fairly rural area, I'm not going to be able to meet people like you or my other guests or people that, you know, I read their books in my local Walmart. It's just not going to happen. So I get to spend time with you and learn and take in a lot of wisdom and a lot of advice. And I thank you for all of that. So if I repeated that, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm also grateful to be here. Even though Copenhagen is full of interesting people, I must say that a conversation like this one is really special for me too. And I enjoy doing these podcasts. I meet fascinating people from all over the globe who are insightful and curious, and we have interesting conversations.
Exactly. I wanted to go back to the Matrix because I've been kind of skipping around through the book, and we're going to run out of, we've got about 15 minutes, so I'm not panicked yet. But this is in chapter 3, I believe. And this stuck with me, and I put a sticky note next to it, and you say small steps are better than no steps, which is common sense. But you go on to say, even though you might not have full autonomy, you are the most influential person in your own life. You might not be the top boss who makes all the decisions, but you can still influence the people and ecosystems around you. I love that. And I think so many people don't understand. I do think this. I'm not making this up out of whole cloth. I think so many people do not understand just how important they are, even if they're in a room of one, just themselves, or they're in a room with two other people. They're important. What they have to say matters. What they think matters. How they listen matters. The questions they ask and the responses they exhibit matter. Be the best you every day of your life is my point.
Yes, and also when you spend time with yourself, the way you talk to yourself.
Oh yeah. Listen, I've said this on this podcast before because we all have ugly things that we say to ourselves. We just do. And I'll tell you right now, if anybody spoke to me in a fashion that I catch myself speaking to me, if they said something like that to me in a Walmart parking lot, I would need bail money. I'd be in jail. So don't talk ugly to yourself. When you catch yourself doing it, knock it off. Reframe it. Come up with something different.
It's eventually it will be part of your reality, how
Yep.
you experience life, and it's the first thing you can change. Once you start changing the inner dialogue you're having with yourself, you'll see the world has a completely different flavor. It
It
does.
does. It really does. I have massively curly hair. It doesn't just kind of hang around like other people's hair. It floats. I call it terrorist hair. So it floats. Because I finally said, no, no more terrorist. That's a bad word. It's Hagrid hair. So that's different.
Oh, that's very cute, Denise. It's
It does.
funny.
It floats. I have to tie it down, staple it, stick a hat on it. It's just going to do whatever it wants to do. But we show up in your book, you're telling us that we show up in ways that we may not be aware of until we are. So how can people be more aware? You've got a three-step approach to managing energy in your work and your life. Let's talk about that because we need to figure out what it is that we're doing. My grandmother, and I know this is a little bit off topic, my grandmother made a comment when I was very young. We were sitting on a bench somewhere, and I was looking at this older lady sitting across, and this woman looked just mad at the world. And I remember asking my grandmother, what's wrong with her? And she said, honey, you reach a certain point. Once you reach a certain age, what you think internally shows up on your face. This was not a happy woman.
Yeah,
And
that's really sad.
I've never forgotten that. So when I walk around wearing my resting bitch face, I try not to. I try to go, oh, Denise, stop it. Smile.
Yeah, but even if you change your facial expression, it will actually affect your mood. So
It
it
does.
does. Yeah, it
Yep.
does. It does.
It
The way you
does.
show up, the way you approach the world, and I believe that throughout life, even at the end of life, we all have a choice. We all have a choice. There's a lot of time where we are unaware, and the trick is to increase the amount of time where we are aware, because then when we are aware, we have a free choice. You don't have a free choice when you're unaware. So do you want to be a free human being, or do you want to be a biological machine, like a we part animal
Right.
then.
So managing energy, it's listen, I live all by myself on purpose. I've been married. I'm never doing that again. I did my time, just so y'all know. Done. But It's even living alone, I have to be very aware of what I'm thinking, what I'm doing, what's triggering me, what's really pissing me off, excuse the language, and what makes me just go, oh, that's so sweet. I choose to stay away from the things that trigger me. I identify them and then I work on expelling them. So what tips do you have for that?
Being aware of it, like trying to start trying to notice what the trigger patterns are. And one thing is, one strategy, once you know what your triggers are, can be to do what you do, Denise, to avoid it. But then what about all the people who have regular jobs and have to be with people who triggers them every day? Then you have
Exactly.
to use other techniques. Humor, seeing things from other perspectives. Like, I know we've been talking a lot about this today, like seeing things from different perspectives. It's actually the last chapter in the book is all about that. And there is this fascinating story about Viktor Frankl. Do you remember this one? He was,
I do. Viktor Frankl.
yeah,
Who doesn't know about him?
he was in a concentration camp, and he did a, he used his time in concentration camp to study what made people survive these terrible circumstances. And he found out that people who could make sense, who could find a meaning in the madness, were the ones who survived. Not the one who were overly optimistic, keeping on hoping that they would get out for Christmas or for Easter, and then they wouldn't get out, and then they would die. It was those who could find a meaning, make sense of what happened around them. And that really requires that you can see things from different perspectives. And
And it
that
requires
you
a lot
notice.
of brain energy. And people don't talk about this much, but we can use brain calories like crazy if we're
Oh,
really
yeah.
thinking and digging.
Yes. So your brain uses 20% of your energy, of your personal energy, 20%. That's a lot because the brain only takes up 3 to 4% in size. So it's a your brain is second to the liver, is the most energy consuming part of you.
Know that about the liver. I did know it about the brain. In fact, I was shocked. I never thought about it until somebody said that to me. I said, brain calories? What are you talking about? Then, of course, I had to go find out and I went, oh. So the lesson there was think more. You
Yeah,
don't need
you don't need to work out, just
to.
think.
Just think more. You don't need to jump on a treadmill and not think. You need to think more and then jump on the treadmill while you're thinking.
You do spend a lot of energy thinking.
Too. And I don't know about you. I've got a squirrel brain. It doesn't shut down. It's constantly going zit, 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 all over the place. And I don't quarrel with it because it's busy. I don't want to interrupt its thought processes. So I leave it be.
So can you observe it while it's having all these thought processes,
I
like a
do my
third party?
best. Yeah, I will sit back. Sometimes I'll think, okay, Denise, what are you really thinking right now, because it's a little bit demented in there. I know you do this too. It's like, what in the world? I've got 4,000 things. They're all at the crossroads and nobody knows who goes left, who goes right, who goes straight. Now what do I do? And I'll have to sit back and start. I think of it like a ball of yarn. You pick the end of the cut end of the thread and I start pulling on it. And then I'll pull on something else. And eventually I can find some semblance of, oh, there it is. Okay, that's where I started. Let's go back to that. But you do have to sit with yourself and really dig.
Yes. Have you tried to tell some of the thoughts to retreat?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know when I do this is in the shower most of the time because there's nothing, there's no ringing phone. I don't have a cat yelling at me. They do. they talk. And it's very quiet, and that's when I get most of my God winks, to be honest. And I will take bathtub crayons in the shower with me, and as these things start downloading, some of them are coming from me, some of them are coming from somewhere else entirely. I don't discount them. And I will start scribbling on the shower walls. And then, of course, I have to wait for, I take my showers hot enough to steam cabbage, so I have to wait for the haze to dissipate. And then I go back in and I take pictures of it. Now I've got some thoughts that I can go, what was I thinking there? What was that all about? Where did that come from? It's fascinating.
It is. So in those situations, you're really just observing and being curious and seeing what the thoughts are in your mind. It also creates an openness that makes you capable of receiving new thoughts, wherever they come from.
And you never know where they're going to come from. I mean, I have noticed, though, when I'm speaking out loud to myself, if I'm saying something like, okay, I'm going to do this, that's ego, nothing more or less, that's ego. But if I hear myself saying, okay, we can do this, that's a God wink. That's something else.
You have a different tone of voice speaking with one or the other.
I guess you're right. Listen, we are going to run out of time. We still have a few more minutes, though. Before I let you go, what do you really want people to know about your work and your book, and where can they find you?
They can find me on josephinecampbell.com. Josephine is spelled with an F. It's the Scandinavian way of spelling Josephine. I put some free resources there because I really want to share. I get inspired from the work I do, and I feel that it's important to share some of the insights, wherever they come from, to the benefits of others. I'm active on LinkedIn. Please feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. I would love to hear from you. I always get really happy when someone who heard or read something writes me and share their reflections. Please feel free to do that. I coach, I develop teams. So, I'm also available for conversations about what you can do in your situation. And what do I really want to share with people? If I have one message, is that it's all about increasing the time where you are aware. And it's step by step, small improvements can have a huge impact.
They absolutely can. Josephine, can you tell us about any upcoming projects or initiatives that you're working on right now?
Yes, I can. So I have several projects going on for clients, and the nature of mine is confidential. So I cannot tell exactly who I'm working for, but it's a lot of them are like large multinational corporations. I can mention some of my clients. I know I can mention are like Deloitte and McDonald's and Carlsberg, Novo Nordisk. And one client, and I didn't mention their name, we're doing a big initiative, which I think can have a real impact, where we have a day with 180 leaders, all the leaders from the organization. And then we're training all the people from People and Culture. So on that day we're going to have with the leaders, we will introduce some of these tools and techniques. But then the people from People and Culture, the HR business partners, they can go on supporting them and doing network activities with them using these tools to increase awareness and energy level. And we all know that people who have regular jobs, what is in need is more energy and more bandwidth. And I really hope we can help with that. Then the second thing we're doing, moving on, which is really exciting, is we are soon launching a platform where you can enjoy some of these journeys, some of these techniques coaching journeys, experiences that we take people through. And I found a really, really efficient way to make it easy, accessible for people. If you stay tuned, if you connect with me, if you sign up on my newsletter, you will get an invitation to that sometime soon within the next couple of months. At the moment, we are beta testing it before we are really launching it. So I think that has perspective. I would love to for more people to benefit from what we do because it has a huge impact and it should be more than highly paid executives in high positions who gets access to it. So I want to make it more available for people who are early on in their career, somewhere else in their career.
Will you keep me posted so I can share with my audience when it's ready?
Definitely, Denise. I will. I will.
Wonderful. I've got one more question. What do you think sets you apart from others in your field? Because what you're talking about here, a lot of it is fairly new to me.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. If we start backwards from what I just shared, I think there are very few people with my expertise within leadership and team development who also have this techie, nerdy interest and who is actually building digital tools and seeing how we can more people can benefit from what we know using AI and other technologies, trying to bridge those worlds. And don't worry, it's not going to be like a fully digital product. It's going to be blended, so there will be human touch to it as well. But I think that that sets me apart. And then I don't do pure coaching. I also use my expertise, maybe a little more than the average coach. And thirdly, just like you, Denise, I have a really good intuition and I use it. I know I'm not the only one who does that. I know there are the great coaches who do that. And very often it's what sets you apart. It's when you have that voice with you, then you can get things to another place than what you could without that power
Oh, I
of
agree with you.
intuition.
And there's another thing that I think so many people just miss. Stop talking. Sit down and listen. That's also part of your intuition. You will hear from yourself or from those God winks or downloads if you're not chattering at people.
Yeah, very true. And you know what I find? A lot of people actually have access to a lot of information if they could just sit down and listen.
And turn off the TV. That's
Yeah.
distraction. You don't need to be distracted. You need to listen to your internal processes. You need to watch other people go through their internal processes and learn from everything around you, but not the television. I'm sorry, just turn that garbage off.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. There's a universe inside you, just like there's a universe outside you.
Writing that down, universe inside. Okay, keep talking.
Yeah.
Sat Universe
So
inside of you. Okay, got it.
there's so many interesting things happening within you. But of course, if there's too many things disturbing you outside you, you won't get the peace of mind to actually explore all these things that are happening inside you. And even if you have feelings that are uncomfortable, they will pass too, and there will be some message listening to those feelings. Sometimes it's like people are doing a lot to avoid those sensations and feelings and thoughts because they're uncomfortable. But the truth is, just like a little cloud, little fluffy cloud on a blue sky, they're gonna drift away.
Very nice. I've been scribbling notes while we're talking. I wrote this down because I thought it was very important. Until, where did it go? I've got so many little notes. Awareness equals energy. I think it starts with awareness, doesn't it? If your energy is tanking, it's because you're not aware of something that's really tripping you up.
Well, it can be both and or, remember I was talking about the downward spiral? You can always also have an upward spiral. So I would say one is strengthening or supporting the other. It can require energy to train new awareness. You know, to do things, see things that you normally do not see, right?
See, I hadn't gotten that far.
But then, of course, if you stay at the same awareness level, it can be just as, you know, usual business, then it doesn't require much more energy than usual. But I think you can start in both ends. That's why in my, you know, my awareness matrix, you have one axis, which is personal energy. You have the other axis, which is radio hijacked. Red and green zone, are you aware or unaware? So it depends on where you come from, but I think it's good to feed both of them, both do something that gives you energy. And I find a lot of people are low on their energy account these days.
Yes, and I just circled that because now I need to go back and think about what you just said. So I'm glad I asked the question. Listen, we are out of time, and I'm so sorry to have to say that. So you've already given us, you know, where people can connect with you directly. And thank you. Everybody, I want you to go find this book. It's a terrific book. So, Josephine, is there anything else you want to share with the audience before I reluctantly let you go?
Be safe. Yeah,
okay.
Be safe. Yeah, and you know, when you feel safe, it's easier to do good things for you and do things that are giving you energy, and it's easier to grow your awareness.
Thank you. Listen, before we wrap up today's episode, if you have enjoyed the episode and found our insights helpful, please leave us a review and rating on iTunes. Your feedback helps me improve and reach more people on their own success journeys. So don't forget to hit that subscribe button, leave a review, and share your Partner in Success Radio with your friends and colleagues. And be sure to connect with Josephine. Go find her and read her book. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next one. Josephine, again, thank you so much. I'm so glad we finally got together.
I enjoyed this conversation very much, Denise. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.